Blog Talk Radio.
Sometime this afternoon. Long drive, very interesting time, and I'd like to start out by welcoming everyone, including those who will be listening later. I'd like to especially welcome any veterans and also current members serving. And if Carrie Lakin is out there, I'd like to say hello and hope you are out there and hope you are well. John F. Kennedy said that those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. And if that you hear that squeaking, that's my dog. She's very happy to be home. Hang on one second. I don't think she's going to chill. Anyway, we are fast approaching a point where hang on one second, please. Okay, we are fast approaching the point Pardon me, but that's kind of humorous. I haven't seen my dogs in a while, so I'm on the phone and not paying attention to them, so of course this is what they do to me. In any case, the Usurpathon is just starting. It's a marathon, and we took a first phase trip over there, and I have to tell you why I'm relating to John Kennedy's quote again, is that this is just beyond the pale. The obfuscation, the singling out of individual lieutenant colonels, military members, the breaking the chain of command, the assault on the Constitution, and the continued allowance of Obama serving, or whatever his name is, serving in office, basically occupying the office of the White House, it's beyond the pale. And it's gotten to the point where something has to break here. I believe Joseph Farah said on WorldNet Daily, and I agree with him, Obama's conceded the point. He doesn't have a birth certificate, and they haven't been able to make it. We have been, I've got a lot to say tonight, and I'm sorry this is going to be a short show, just about an hour, but this is the point where things are going to break or not. And we have to, in my view, really, of course, focus on the November elections. There's no question in my mind that we have to begin to focus on that. The Republicans are standard Cove. Republicans are getting exposed here. But we also must focus, really, like a laser, on this eligibility. We have to find out all kinds of ways to talk about it. We have to break down the barriers to how it's being discussed. So, in part, our little trip to the East Coast, well, those who are already on the East Coast, but to Washington, was to really scout out different ways to do things. And I'm finding and thinking that small groups of people are really going to be very much more effective than large crowds, and that everybody all over the country can participate in this kind of thing. Go with your closest friends, of course, those who you politically work with, or go with some associates to do this kind of thing. Set aside that time. And while I'm here, I'd like to thank Papoose and No Nonsense Nancy for their dedication and really work on this issue. Nancy came up with some very creative posters. They were just so much fun. And also Papoose as well. We had a lot of discussions with all different kinds of people, from street people to congressmen, and found out a lot of things. But it's time now to break this up. Now, I want to present a couple things to you, just a little report. I want to present to you a perspective I think that we've learned quite a lot and has been developing for me anyway in the last couple of weeks. I'd like to report on Terry Lakin and then report on some interesting developments related to Lakin's case with some concern about everybody talking and nobody listening. So, if you will, I'm just going to talk, and I hope you listen. In any case, let's start here. with regard to the whole issue of Obama's ineligibility, the issue early on got hijacked to be, quote, the issue of the birth certificate. And the more I think about this, the more I think that was intentional. And whether or not it was, I think you can see that, one attorney went off, basically on the birth certificate itself and where Obama was born and so forth, and didn't look at the other aspects of citizenship, the requirements for two parents, so forth and so on. And, you know, I'm just going to speak very frankly, claiming to represent 300 million people but refusing to, you know, file a class action lawsuit is kind of problematic. But because of the birth certificate and because of the, in many ways, the individuals who went after that in particular and the mechanics of the cases, the mistakes that were made or, you know, and but not just the mistakes, the absolute attack on the whole credibility of the birth certificate issue was a huge diversion. And, you know, we got to talk about the forgery. We got to talk about whether that online document forgery was one or not, but what the standard of proof was. So it got to the point where everyone basically just said, you know, get over it. Forget it. This is ridiculous. People putting their hands up, and it was just so much on the birth certificate and birthers and so forth that everybody forgot what the major issue is. And as we have begun to develop the language on this, it really is about dual citizenship or multiple citizenship in the case of Obama. Because of the natural-born citizen concept, which has been so very well developed by a number of writers, and in particular in the Kirchner case, we know very well, lots of us, where this came from. The law of nations, it's not English common law, it's the law of nations in Battelle, it's not Blackstone, but basically the natives or natural-born citizens are those who are born to parents who are citizens. Born in the country of parents who are citizens. So it's two parents and being born in the U.S. Now, as all of this has gone on, Obama, of course, admitted in June of 2008 that he was, and he admitted in his book and so forth and so on, that he did have original citizenship as British and Kenyan, and that his citizenship was governed by the British Nationality Act. So if you look at the British Nationality Act, you find out that once a Brit, you're always a Brit. You can't lose it. You can't get rid of it. And so Obama was born British. And we don't know whether his mother was, where he was born right now or not. Everybody has their view. But it's pretty important to find out that because he either has American citizenship or he doesn't. If he was born abroad, he doesn't have American citizenship because his mother was too young. And if he was born in the United States, in Hawaii, as he claims he was, then, you know, then he may have American citizenship, but so what? That means still that he's a dual citizen, but British at birth. And that is not allowed. Now, when you ask people generally, like we did in a restaurant, or, you know, just casually on the street, can a dual citizen be president? The answer is automatically no. Pretty much no. Some people will say maybe, and then, you know, of course, all the spammers and so forth will say absolutely, absolutely is the 14th Amendment. But we know that a 14th Amendment citizen is not the same as a natural-born citizen. But asking people about dual citizenship seems to invoke a different kind of response. You don't mention the birth certificate. So now we have, of course, the State Department, which is, quote-unquote, running a site to protect Obama, but it admits that Obama has British citizenship and Kenyan citizenship and American citizenship. And, you know, we knew in June that he probably had June 08, that he probably had Indonesian citizenship as well, and that's just been confirmed pretty much more and more. And his 1981 trip to Pakistan was very suspicious, although if you connect Brzezinski to that trip, well, and Colombia, then you realize that Obama was Brzezinski's student and probably was taken over there by him in some other elaborate kind of scheme. But regardless, the guy's a multiple citizen. And now the birth certificate is only necessary to find out if he has any American citizenship. in him. So now I was all proud that we were able to see, you know, a couple of congressmen's staff and get something hand-delivered, get a letter hand-delivered, and, you know, raising the issue of dual citizenship before the issue of the birth certificate invoked surprise and interest by people, you know, ostensibly saying, oh, nobody's ever presented it like that before. Well, I don't know if you believe that surprise or not, but you have to think that this is absolutely a different way to deal with this. So now I think, you know, the whole birth certificate piece, you know, nothing prevents anybody from running, but it does prevent, you know, the lack of Article 2 eligibility does prevent someone from serving. So all the suits that happened really before Obama became president are moot because he could have run anyway. And unfortunately, you know, I'm so glad that we have the information out from JBJD on the election fraud, but that came out a little bit too late in terms of making any kind of, you know, impact in August or September of 08. Not that, you know, well, there's no statute of limitations on the criminal activity that occurred, but we were diverted by the birth certificate. And then, you know, the whole sort of pushing over of the, you know, popular vote and the Electoral College, but all the way up to the moment Obama was sworn in, he could have been caught. And it only would have taken somebody raising the dual citizenship issue. Part of our usurpathon was to pull on the other string that I think will bring the Obama administration down, and that is Nancy Pelosi. Because when you look at these things together, Pelosi's role, who's going to not believe the third in line to the presidency, right? But Pelosi's role was basically to prevent that discussion from coming up about dual citizenship. How convenient the birth certificate came up at that time. And birth certificate, birth certificate, birth certificate, and nobody proving a real reason to have it. I mean, that's ridiculous in one way, but that's the way the courts looked at it. Not, you know, they didn't put the burden of proof on Obama, and Obama certainly wasn't honest enough to step forward. And this was and is and always will be his Achilles heel. So we have been diverted significantly by a birth certificate. And now the only reason we need to see it is to find out if he has any American citizenship. So this is huge. This is a major paradigm shift, if you will. You know, I'm a person who most certainly believes in and has faith in God, but I also look at various signs just because I'm a Western person and I like birds and animals and so forth and so on. And when you see cranes, birds that are cranes, sandhill cranes, I saw a lot of them on the way back here from D.C., it's time to shift your focus. It's a shift. And I believe the shift from the birth certificate to dual citizenship and hanging on to the State Department's website, which lays that out, is a good one. And I think it needs to happen. Now, again, I still insist, and all of us who went to Washington on this first part of the usurpathon, I think all of a sudden at the same time came to the same feeling as don't send me any more petitions on legislation or Kagan or anybody else. This is fundamental violation of the Constitution, and it's absolutely ridiculous to have this happen. Now, we were very fortunate to meet Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lakin and break bread with him. And we were at Walter Reed talking with people and so forth, coming in and out of the Georgia Street gate. And our general impression was that a lot of people don't know about Terry Lakin and don't know what he's doing. And, you know, if any of my colleagues want to call in and talk, you know, share the information, basically, you know, my impression of Terry Lakin is that he is not a man who takes risks, that basically has 17 years of service. All of a sudden, this guy comes along with, you know, flimsy electronic document, and he's sending all these people into war and so forth, and this man says, wait a minute, you know, I want to see the proof of who you are. It's the same kind of thing that Orly Tate was pursuing on the Cold War in tow. The entire difference in all of this is Lieutenant Colonel Lakin is active. And is, you know, a family man. And there have been misinformation. I think that I may have passed some on, but he is working at Walter Reed, not being held at Walter Reed, and, you know, has basically minimal patient contact. But you all know that on September 3rd, Judge Lind, in the case, basically told him to find another defense, that she was not going to let this man, this Army officer, present anything in his defense. It was not going to grant his request for discovery and so forth on some flimsy excuse that this was going to be, you know, embarrassing to the president. Well, there's such a thing as, you know, reversible error. Judges do this kind of thing to basically throw the case out, but this would be classic for the Army to throw the case out and, you know, dishonorable discharge and, you know, shove it under the rug. Or this could be a very serious effort to basically make this man, you know, an example and really throw the book at him. And a little bit later, I'd like to read some items that have come in from General Valley on this case. But until you actually meet somebody who's put his life and his family on the line, sit there and break bread with him and talk with them and laugh and, you know, share stories and so forth, you don't know how serious this eligibility issue is. And then when you think about this one man, you have to think about everyone else who's serving over in any place that our soldiers are in danger, and their families. And you have to think about the rules of engagement. You know, I get accused of being a total conspiracy theorist, but, you know, so what? At this point, all I can see is those rules of engagement are nothing more than to protect Obama. Because right now, as an illegal president, he's creating illegal orders, and he's sending our people into harm's way and causing them to do things that could really get them in trouble. He's the one, Obama, that should be brought up before the Hague, but he's created rules of engagement that don't help. With regard to Lieutenant Colonel Lakin, I don't know much about the military, but it strikes me that as far as I know, all the orders on the military really all originate from the commander-in-chief and are implemented through the Pentagon, you know, so forth and so on. What apparently is happening is in Lieutenant Colonel Lakin's case, there's, you know, and I may be wrong, so please call in and correct me if I am, but an attempt to say that Lakin's orders came from the Pentagon and not from the president. Not from Obama. So that's separating Obama as commander-in-chief from the Pentagon, and that's breaking the chain of command. You know, he's come out with these new court-martial rules. Are those rules going to sort of implement this breaking the chain of command? Because if they break the chain of command and the orders don't come from Obama, well, then Lieutenant Colonel Lakin is going down. And, you know, it's just the Pentagon. But, you know, like I told you, this man is not a man to take risks. So he knows some things. He knows some things. He knows where his orders came from. And I'll just leave it at that. So in any case, What else do you want to do? You want to focus on healthcare? Want to focus on, you know, getting rid of these other issues? We can't do anything until we start really working on Obama and his ineligibility, his dual citizenship, his multiple citizenship. Ask that question. That's a question that Congress can get their arms around. And I really hope that you take a look at my blog. I think the post on the Audacity of No has a letter that I wrote to Congressman Issa. But I encourage everyone to write to their congressmen, their senators with this question of dual citizenship. Call them, fax them, write them, go visit them. Go over with a pile of your buddies. You know, do some quote-unquote sightseeing, but go visit those people. And in this situation, as you're doing this, raise the issue of Lieutenant Colonel Lakin, which I did in both settings. Have you heard about this individual? He's looking for the paperwork. He needs the paperwork to document that his orders are proper. Well, they told me that they hadn't heard of him. Maybe, maybe not. But that's another thing that has to happen. In early October, there is going to be, well, before I say that, in your letters, in your discussions, you must bring in Lieutenant Colonel Lakin and ask for a fair trial. Something's got to happen here. Because everyone is sweeping it under the rug. Everyone is. The military now has just done that, tried to do that. It's still a very touchy situation. You don't know if they're going to try to blow it with the Taser incident and with Lynn's decision, purposely blow it, or if they're going to try to break the chain of command and make him an example for everybody else. This is what happens when you question the commander-in-chief. In those letters, you have to please also mention Lieutenant Colonel Lakin. Please visit my site. I have a link to his site, Safeguard the Constitution, where you can make donations for his defense and so forth. So this is getting to the point where, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. I just really feel that if Lieutenant Colonel Lakin goes down, that's it. Because, you know, even Judge Lynn's decision, I think Commander Kirshner has pointed this out, and others have, that we are already under martial law with that kind of decision. The whole rule of law has been thrown out, but why shouldn't it be? The whole rule of law was thrown out when Obama was able to sneak in. He has compromised everybody. And you've got to believe that the silence around this is compromising. For example, when he went to visit the Supreme Court before he was, you know, when he was president-elect, right after January 9th, or that day, I think it was January 8th, 2009, but before January 20th, when he was sworn in, he went to go see the Supreme Court. And, you know, I remember the picture very well. He was just completely, disrespectful. That's what came across. But he's compromised everybody there. And then the oath was flubbed. Everybody is compromised. Anyone who has been involved in this issue or has said something or turned the other way knowingly is now compromised. They all will go down. And so why should any of them say anything right now? I think that's what we're dealing with. There's an embarrassment factor. These guys are supposed to be safeguarders of the Constitution. What? They don't know about dual citizenship? They want to let a, quote, birth certificate issue cloud it? How convenient. To say they're all in this together. And I think the concern that I have, which was really raised by Papoose, and, you know, just great hat tips to my compatriots in this effort, because precedent is being set right now. You know, everyone says, oh, you know, let's go find a good candidate. Let's wait till 2010. Let's wait the elections in November. Let's wait till 2012. Let's just get him out. No. That means Bobby Jindal could walk in. That means anyone else could walk in. And herein is another secret that we learned about talking with people about this, is loyalty to the United States. But the longer we sit and wait, the longer we spend our energies on legislation, all these various things, we miss the boat. It's the most fundamental issue right now. And it is unacceptable to me that this guy could go on for so long. He has conceded the point, now resign. Now, Phil Berg is going to D.C. in October to demand the birth certificate. Now, what's that going to be look like? Is there a way to expand that? What is this? Can you make it a resign rally? How about resigning? So, with regard to Lieutenant Colonel Lakin, I'd like to point out a couple of things. Let me just check in the chat room here for a second. I hope it's there. Anyway, hope everything's working out okay. It looks like I'm unmuted. Well, I can't get into the chat right now, but I hope it's there, so I'm just going to keep going here, if you don't mind. Here's a note from Citizens, Neil Turner, Captain Neil Turner, Citizens for the Constitution, on a quote-unquote new defense strategy proposed for Lieutenant Colonel Terrence Lakin. And the note is by, hi, everybody. There are a few people in there. Hi, Papoose, No Nonsense, Chuster. Oh, and who is that, Dr. Kate? I think there are a bunch of listeners, Ashley, already. I think we have probably, if I go into the chat or into my switchboard, I can find out. Hopefully there are a lot, and, sorry if there's not much chat going on, but, it's kind of hard to listen to me for all this time, so I greatly appreciate it, everyone. This new defense strategy is by Major General Paul E. Valley. And he put it together September 14th, 2010, and it's in the post and email. I'm sure you remember the general. He got up at a big luncheon and basically called for the resignation of the entire government. So, Citizens for the Constitution. Many retired senior officers, general officers, and flag officers, see list below, have now come forward to state that our nation is in a full-scale national security crisis. The time has come for this nation to decide if, A, anyone without so much as a birth certificate can hold the office of President and Commander-in-Chief of the U.S. military. B, can all soldiers must blindly follow orders, whether or not these orders are legal. C, not even a high-ranking officer has the right to challenge the lawfulness of the orders. To take your place and make your voice heard in deciding these issues, you're invited to join in with the United States Patriots Union, based in Sheridan, Wyoming, by the way. And if you are a veteran, then you should apply within the U.S. Patriots Union for participation in the Veterans Council of the United States Patriots Union. Silence in the face of evil is itself evil, and the silence has so far been deafening. Now more than ever, it is time for everyone's voice to be heard. I can't underscore enough the significance of our military coming forward and the significance of the one man that's standing in the military and saying, I'm not going until I see the proof that these orders are legal. So I'm going to read this proposed new defense strategy. The U.S. Bar Association supports the Second Amendment, private property rights, and ending illegal immigration. The United States Patriots Union has been formed to represent the more than 70% of patriotic Americans who believe that this nation is headed in the wrong direction, who oppose the Obama administration's policies, and make up the 89% of Americans who think every member of Congress should be fired. Remember, they're all hanging together here. They're all compromised. We have come together to form a Veterans Council within the United States Patriot Union for the purpose of unifying veterans all over the country in an organized effort to address all issues of great and ongoing concern to the veterans community. We plan to address many different issues from this council looking forward, not the least of which is proper representation and defense of our men and women in uniform, those who have served with honor and distinction, and the families who have endured great sacrifices on behalf of freedom and liberty for all these many years. Today's statement relates specifically to the ongoing courts-martial of Lieutenant Colonel Terrence Lagan. Upon receiving word that Lieutenant Colonel Lagan would be denied any and all of the discovery and mitigating evidence needed to provide for a legitimate defense, a white paper was prepared and released by the United States Patriots Union and the United States Bar Association, advising the Lagan defense team to immediately adjust its defense strategy in accordance with established history and law concerning Mr. Barack Obama's constitutional authority as commander-in-chief. In short, to drop the search for an insignificant birth certificate and focus on the right question at hand. We believe that there are only two potential outcomes of this court's martials, and that both outcomes bring certain challenges. Our first priority must be to unite in defense of Lieutenant Colonel Lagan in an effort to arrive at the best possible outcome for both Lieutenant Colonel Lagan and the nation. Outcome number one, Lieutenant Colonel Lagan is found guilty of wrongfully refusing orders. With this outcome, we get the following precedents. A, anyone without so much as a birth certificate can hold the office of President Commander-in-Chief of the U.S. military. B, all soldiers must blindly follow orders, whether or not those orders are legal. C, not even a high-ranking officer has the right to challenge the lawfulness of the orders. Outcome number two, Lieutenant Colonel Lagan is found not guilty of wrongfully refusing orders, as Barack Obama's illegitimacy is confirmed, in which case the following precedents have been established. Every soldier must make the same decision Lagan made, to follow or not follow an illegal command. The military chain of command is broken at the top of the chain. C. Obama must be removed from office, and there is no one in the normal line of succession to the Oval Office who can replace him, as they were all complicit in the greatest fraud ever perpetrated on the American people. We believe that whether Lieutenant Colonel Lagan is found guilty or not guilty in his courts-martial, our nation is in a full-scale national security crisis. This cannot be avoided by simply brushing the Lagan situation under the carpet as if the legitimacy of this administration and command has not been properly and repeatedly challenged. The current Lagan defense strategy is limited to an ongoing search for a missing birth certificate that is of no real consequence, and they have been denied discovery access to any of Obama's records, as well as anyone who has access to those records. There's no defense for Lagan on this basis. The Veterans Council of the United States Patriot Union has decided not to let Lieutenant Colonel Lagan face these charges alone without a proper defense. Following the statement, a second white paper concerning the Lagan courts-martial is being released. It is our opinion the existing legal team should be re-energized and reinforced by a more experienced military legal team. The Veterans Council, in an effort to support and assist the Lagan team, the Veterans Council has worked to make available the best possible legal defense team. We recognize that defense strategy decisions are ultimately in the hands of Lieutenant Colonel Lagan, but we call upon all patriots to engage and support this vital Veterans Council initiative by joining the United States Patriot Union. Veterans who wish to directly engage with and participate in the Veterans Council should apply to that division. I'm going to put the link in there, and the Veterans Council includes Paul Vallely, Major General, retired U.S. Army, Henry Riley, retired Colonel, U.S. Army, Carmen A. Reynolds, Lieutenant Colonel, U.S. Air Force, Deborah A. Gunnow, Lieutenant Colonel Air Force, Greg Hollister, Lieutenant Lieutenant Colonel Air Force, William Harker, Commander, U.S. Navy, Bill Little, Commander, U.S. Navy, John Johnson, U.S. Air Force, Luther B. Neff, Captain, U.S. Air Force, Michael A. Trudell, Captain, U.S. Navy, Fred Herndon, Captain, U.S. Air Force. This is based in Sheridan, Wyoming. Okay, so, like I was saying earlier on, everybody's talking. We all know that there are all these various defenses going on. The birth certificate, as I've said, we've talked about it at the top of the hour here, where it is, what kind of a diversion it's been, that we are really in the thick of the issue right now, which is really about multiple citizenship and the presidency, which is the natural-born citizen, the other half of natural-born citizen piece. Now, not every strategy goes with every case. As significant as this statement is in remarking on the case, are also as significant as these comments are, what is also significant is where comments are not coming from in terms of the strategy of Lieutenant Colonel Lagan's defense. So I'm not going to make a comment on one strategy over the other, but only to point out that if you are in the military, if you are right there facing the decision to go out, there are certain documents you need, Exhibit A. If you can't produce that Exhibit A, that's a problem. And so, you know, you can also get caught in the larger discussions of what is a natural-born citizen. Now, on my way through Chicago, I stopped by to have dinner with family. And I asked family. One was naturalized and one who was born here, what a natural-born citizen was. What's the requirement for president? They all said born in the U.S., the USA. So we know that the education has been to basically dumb down that concept, so it would be possible someday to have somebody come in with a fake birth certificate or whatever and you know, just say, well, my mother was American, so there you go, and I was, like, born in Hawaii, so goodbye. So this is very serious. I think General Valerie, I think others raise incredibly serious points. Also, it's incredibly serious for Lieutenant Colonel Lakin, and the decisions are in his hands as well. So all of us, I hope, can pray for some clarity and begin to begin to advance this case. So, anyway, all right, now, good, is the sound, there we go. I'm looking at the chat now, good evening, Stan was there, good evening guest, good evening Chuster, no nonsense, hi, another guest, and there was a question in there about domestic enemies. If you want to look at a domestic enemy right now, number one is Barack Obama. Under the color of authority, he is ruining our country, and no one is doing anything about it. He has compromised everyone. Everyone is compromised. You know, for a while they could hide under the birth certificate piece, but now that it's out there, he's a multiple citizen. That is an issue that must be addressed, and he should step down right now. Yes, I'd like him arrested. No, I don't want him impeached because he's not a real president. But, you know, we have to do this now. Okay, I am just going to take a little bit of a break here. Let me look at the switchboard and see if I've run out of time yet. 15 minutes left. I'm going to play an old standby while I recollect some other things. I want you to think about Lakin and Valerie. I will try to find the links. But I really want you to really help Lieutenant Colonel Lagan figure this out for himself. He needs the documents. He doesn't need to be caught in a whipsaw of one definition of natural-born citizen and somebody else's definition of natural-born citizen. Look at how long that takes. Even if the Supreme Court takes the case, how long do you think they're going to take to deal with this? They don't seem to be in any much of a hurry. By the time they deal with it, is it 2012? And then is it over as far as precedent goes because Obama set the precedent? You know, if you want to change the Constitution, go for it, I say. But let's not change it by fiat. Okay, I'll be back in just a second.
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. Being wrong, nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds, are getting so much resistance from behind. Any time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. A field day for the heat, a thousand people in the street, singing songs and a carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Okay, I caught the chat just a little bit. Welcome back to Revolution Radio. No, we haven't discussed the white papers. Hi, Tenacity. He's just come in to join us. Good evening. Nancy, I'm putting those white papers up on the site, these are just various pieces that were put together by others describing an alternative defense for Lieutenant Colonel Lagan. And he has received copies of them. And in any case, and his staff has as well. So we'll see if there are any conversations going on about that. But in any case, this is a big issue. The military is getting involved. I think you have to look at what these possible outcomes are, whether he's found guilty or not guilty, what kind of precedent is set. So the general is really speaking about things, and we must pay attention. So I'm asking you all to not only get back and write that letter regarding the usurpathon, regarding the dual citizenship, just simply ask this question. Can a dual citizen be present? Does the Constitution permit that? And secondly, was election fraud was election fraud committed in 2008 to prevent the discussion of that question? And we know for sure we've got Nancy Pelosi's signature on documents and so forth, and Hawaii is a state that refused to certify Barack Obama. When you look at the documents of all the other candidates for president in recent history, the document submitted by Hawaii for Barack Obama is different than any other of them. And they basically say their authority is he was duly nominated according to the Democratic National Convention. In every other piece of paper regarding nominating a presidential candidate, it's all say this guy meets the constitutional requirements. Get these documents in front of people. Don't start off with a birth certificate. I think this concern about the birth certificate is what I was talking about at the top of the hour, is that basically it's been used as a weapon against us to trivialize the issue. But if you look at it in the broad context of natural-born citizen and dual citizenship, you see now that the birth certificate is necessary to find out if he's American or not. But we have to see this. So many people have had a visceral reaction against the birth certificate you can see where this kind of concern comes up in the strategy for Lieutenant Colonel Lakin. In any case, we heard that at the Usurpathon a lot, you know, people saying get over it. Basically, it's done. No, this is not a democracy. This is a constitutional republic. So no, the popular vote does not have anything to do with answering this question. This is a question that Congress could get their arms around, and they could ask the court for information. Now, as far as I know, the only information available on natural-born citizen is that produced by the Kirshner case by Attorney Mario Puzo. All Obama's been doing, his defense has just been, you know, saying they don't have any standing. The substantive work has been done by Kirshner and Puzo. So you would hope that if Congress asks the Supreme Court for guidance on this issue, that they will go directly to the body of information that lays this out. So we're dealing with an individual man's trial. A lot of people who are concerned about the broader issue are broader concern. The fact that Congress is just, like, steeped in this business, they're all complicit in this. Someone's got to stand up, even if it means that they're going to lose their jobs, which they should. Now, I want to raise just two other issues. One has to do with, again, the silence and the rest part of the Usurpathon, which was to go to New York and go to Ground Zero, and to understand, really, that one of Obama's main missions is the Islamification of America. And that's one of his main missions. Do you notice the only time he uses the Constitution is when he uses it against us? This is not an issue of religious freedom on the Ground Zero Mosque. This is not an issue of religious freedom. It's about Sharia law. And it's about an illegal president, an illegal person in the White House, weighing in on this issue because he's now standing with the Muslims because the winds have blown bad for him now. This is what he told us he was going to do. This is exactly what he's going to do. But until you go there and really understand what this is, it's just unbelievable. So this ineligibility is even more critical. It's the only way we can reverse this kind of thing. And the longer this goes on, the longer we develop the precedent. So we just sit there and wait. Okay, so it's going to happen again, if that's what we have to do. We're going to do. Okay, so we visited Reverend Manning, who had great words, of course. And Reverend Manning is now beginning to connect his work also with 9/11. And when you begin to, again, look at the broad aspects of what has happened, say, since about 1990 up to now, and 2001 and now, whether you're a truther or,
you know, birth or whatever, there's a conspiracy of silence going on. Somebody knows something about something, and they're all being quiet about it. How could this man, Obama, get to be where he is? People don't want to believe that it happened. So, Reverend Manning, look for that kind of stuff that's going to be coming out and making some connections, because, of course, he's now documented that Obama never was really at Columbia, but, again, he was a student of Brzezinski. Brzezinski was messing around in the Muslim world. You know, I'm sure there's some connection there, and I'm sure what's going on now, and I'm convinced that Obama is absolutely an agent of the New World Order. So in the long run, this is not going to stop. You know, the Sergeant at Arms could lock all these people in, you know, their offices until they resolve this issue. I think we're planning on going back again, and I encourage everyone to really try working on focusing on this issue. Begin to talk about it. Talk about it as much as you can. While you're at it, there's an incredible movie, and Nancy, no nonsense, Nancy, I don't know if you can put it in the link in the chat room, but it's called Agenda, Grinding Down America. It's very clear. It's basically, you know, Glenn Beck's piece on, well, Glenn Beck got it from this film, I'm sure, but it's all the linkages that have produced Barack Obama. We are in deep doo-doo right now. This is very serious. It's time to focus. You know, in a way, I would love everyone to focus on eligibility. I believe that that's the issue right now. But if you can't, do something. Do not be quiet, because as long as we remain quiet, precedent is being developed. It's happening every single day, and you can feel it. You can feel it. Get out there, really work on all of this stuff. Keep the 2010 elections in mind. Don't let the Rhino Republicans ruin this. Help out. So right now I'm going to close for the evening with a great song that was passed on, and as you know, one good term deserves another. And this is a thank you to everybody out there for all of the input, support, ideas, criticisms. We all grow, and for all your work, patriotism, because combined we can do a lot, even in small groups. So thank you very much for listening this evening, and I'll talk with you next week.